League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Well, not exactly. It is one of the kings and a new prince in town. Lance Zierlein and Brad Kellner with you from the Wheelhouse. He's known as BK. We're going to find out a lot about Brad Kellner today. There's a lot of our listeners who don't know you exactly. They don't know you well. If they haven't listened, we want you to listen in to the Wheelhouse. You can do it through, well, live radio, 97.5, 92.5, podcast, ESPN97.5.com, podcast. Go listen to the show. Before we get started, before we get into anything, okay, because there's some, we have NFL to get into. Ed Reed was clowning the Texans.
Shocker.
The Astros have two new members of the Hall of Fame, but it's their own Hall of Fame, so it's not quite as big a deal. And we have NBA All-Stars were announced as well. Carmelo Anthony got somebody kicked out of a game because players are super sensitive about anyone heckling them anymore. But I want to find out the big story that we had here locally, and what I mean locally in this building and in the text string that Aaron and I had, was that you had a tweet that went out. It didn't go viral, but nonetheless, I think it was pretty, it was traumatic for you. I've had the same thing happen to me within the last year. I had a hit and run where I was at a grocery store, came out, and I was like, hey, my entire, it looked like there had been a car chase and somebody slammed into my car, basically.
Worse than mine?
Yeah, worse than yours.
Oh, man.
I had to have a side panel. The mirror got knocked completely off. That was parked at an HEB. You tweeted out a picture where you were giving somebody a shout-out. Why don't you tell people what happened to you yesterday?
Yeah, it was a very serious, non-sarcastic shout-out I was giving to the Twitter world yesterday, or to at least somebody on the Twitter world yesterday. But I was at NRG for the Houston Boat and Auto Show yesterday. I went during the day before my show started and came out. Actually, didn't notice. Came out, drove home. When I got out of my car at my house, I noticed the back left bumper had been dented pretty good. And, of course, there was no note. Like, I would have noticed.
It was a
note.
Pretty good shot.
It was a pretty good shot. I would have noticed a note on my dash if there was anything there, but there was nothing there. So, yeah, dented pretty good. No note, nothing like that. No evidence. And that's what happened. So last night I called NRG. I'm like, hey, is there anything I could do? Probably a shot in the dark here. Do you guys have cameras, whatever? And the woman was like, eh, you can come by our security office at gate 10 today and file a police report. I'm like, I can't imagine that's going to do anything. So
no,
probably insurance.
Insurance.
I got to call that little green gecko dude and see if he can make something happen.
That works. Yeah. Insurance, uninsured driver, hit and run. It's the same thing. Don't do that. You'll pay a little bit of a duck. It's going to come out of your pocket, by the way.
Love that.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I love so much.
Yeah.
I had two happen in like a 3-month period.
Wow.
Yeah, one was a guy who just tried to haul ass across a super busy Shepherd, or was it Durham Shepherd? I don't know, whichever one it was. It was Shepherd.
Did you see this happen?
Yeah, I was like, well, yeah, all of us jammed our brakes on, and I hit him because there was a truck here in front of me where I couldn't see. He just tried to gun it across 3 or 4 lanes of traffic, and the gentleman had what we call a paper plate.
Okay.
Which I've noticed I've seen at least two of them out on the roadway, 2 million. And so that was before I really knew about the paper plate hustle. It did not look like it was a new vehicle that he had purchased from the where he was just waiting for his plates to get in. But nonetheless, I thought, well, I mean, you don't issue these things without, you know, he gave me his, it was an ID card, and I took a picture of it. There was a bit of a language barrier.
Okay.
So I took a picture of his ID card. He waited. I took a picture of his license plate.
Okay.
And what I ended up finding out, we waited. Police didn't come. Now, this is in the heart of COVID. This is in June of 2020. So police didn't come. It was an hour and 15 minutes. They never came for that. And eventually that guy kind of weaseled out of there. He waited quite a while, but then he kind of snuck out of there. And
how about that? Were you watching him get in his car?
No. I didn't see it.
Wow.
And because, I mean, he did wait a long time. And then somebody was on the phone with, hey, yeah, if we just it was back and forth with this other guy who was like, oh, he'll pay you cash and blah, blah, blah. Of course, there was no cash exchange. The paper plate surprisingly did not lead to any actual information about the driver.
And you needed so, China instead.
What's that?
You needed China instead.
Yeah.
China plate.
Yeah. I came out of that realizing, now I did have his phone number, okay. So I texted some ugly things to him over the years.
I'm sure he responded to all of them.
Yeah. No responses. And So I know what's going to happen to you. You're going to pay a certain amount of money. It's a hit and run deductible. Not as much. And congratulations. Thanks. Now you'll have it. It'll be looking good as new. Do you have a car dealership place?
No.
Okay, I got a guy who can fix it up. They fix it up fast. My guy, Craig DeSurf out in Angleton, we just got to see if we can get you a loaner. I've been through this twice.
I go LanceZCars.com.
Yeah, that's the website it. That's
need.
Exactly what you do.
Okay.
That's exactly what you do.
Beautiful.
So, well, that's too bad that happened to you.
I think I'm going
to
leave it, Lance. My car's about to hit 100K.
Oh, is it really?
A little battle scar, you know, a little wound.
Oh,
it was looking too
yeah.
nice, too clean. So I might
you
as well
can drive. It's
roll.
Not where you got something hanging off.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
And it's a good conversation starter if I need it. So yeah,
leave it. Or go down there, see if they've got. So they have no cameras.
I don't know.
Every show I watch, you know, on TV, there's some cameras that actually you can zoom in. I've never seen this actual technology where you can zoom in and it. And it somehow magically, clears up the screen. It's not too pixelated. Somehow everything that I zoom is too pixelated.
Right.
If the shot's from too far away. Yet on television and movies, the technology is so incredible that you can zoom like 100x zoom.
Yeah.
And it's crystal clear.
Well, it's because they're filming on the new iPhone. And
must be
not,
what it is.
Now it focuses on the main scene, and then everything else is blurry.
Blurs.
So you just need one of those, Lance.
Because I would think that from what I've seen, there's cameras everywhere, and I should be able to get my hands on everything. And I've also noticed this trend in all the shows I watch. Every house can be broken into relatively easily. It doesn't take much to pick a lock. Not much at all. Sometimes they don't even show them picking a lock. Or doors are just, hey.
Yeah.
This is open.
Happen to be unlocked and open.
Yeah, that's another thing that I've noticed a lot with shows right now, movies. From a sports standpoint, John is out. I did notice you, after paying homage to me the last time around, you do have a Masters zip-up.
Yep.
What is it? What is it considered? What is the... It's not a jacket. It's a pullover.
Quarter zip.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that intentionally for John?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I thought about dressing up as you again, so there'd be two yous in here today, but I thought that'd be a little too creepy. And the first time I dressed up as you when I was in for you working with John, you know, the sort of Adidas tracksuit looking jacket that I bought similar to yours.
Yeah.
I never took the tags off. So I bought it at the Ross right up the road or the TJ Maxx, whatever. And then right after the show, I brought it back.
How much time did you spend trying to look like me? Because that's an
weeks,
effort.
Months. I'd just been preparing since the day I got hired that I was.
Well, you found something that was relatively similar.
Yeah.
So my you actually did put some effort into it.
I did.
You went to a Ross.
I had seen. I mean, I watch you guys on Twitch from time to time. I try to listen to y'all every day.
You see how nice people are on Twitch?
Oh, the nicest.
The chatters are the nicest people.
I'm amazed. Like nobody can say anything mean on there.
Kind people.
It's crazy. Man.
I don't know where they get so much kindness.
Wow, truly the best kind of people.
They're
out
good
there.
People. Good people.
So yeah,
similar
so,
to message board people who are also known and Reddit people now. Who are the nicest people?
And they're all geniuses, too.
Or Chan, all the Chans.
Right.
Nicest people on the Chans, on the Twitches.
Burger Chan downstairs.
Burger Chan's great. Yeah. Diane and I don't want to screw the guy's name up
here, didn't I?
Yeah, I forgot the owner. But
so yeah, so not that like I'd seen you wear that Adidas jacket a couple of times on the Twitch, and I had something in mind when I went to that TJ Maxx. I went the night before. I was filling in for you. And I was like, man, I hope I see an Adidas jacket that has the three stripes down the sleeves, or just the three stripes somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I figured that wouldn't be too hard to find because that's Adidas's bit.
That actual one is really hard to find.
So I couldn't find the actual one, of course, but I found one that was black and had the three white stripes. Good. And I was like, this looks close enough.
I appreciated the effort. John didn't recognize what you were doing. I immediately recognized you got something Masters related, and I don't see tags on it.
No tags.
That apparently is yours.
I actually have this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't go to the Masters.
But is this a John getup, though?
This is a John getup.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried to make it look like I am going to the golf course right
People
now.
People wanted you to just bring giant cases of beer in, but the fact is John doesn't bring cases in.
You sure?
Yeah, he doesn't
bring
it in.
Sure he's not drinking them under the table? Some of the things that he says makes me think that he is.
I know. You would think. Yeah. One would think John is drunk half the time on the show, but that's actual sober John.
Hmm. Well, I tried to get extremely drunk last night and was hoping the holdover would get me through these 3 hours because that feels
I'm
like
I'm going to tell
John
you,
bit.
Now that is a move.
Yeah.
Now that's a John move.
Yeah.
So that is a commitment to the bit. Getting drunk before and having it carry over is part of the bit for John. Well, I call it life. But the other thing is, surprisingly, the things he will say sober at 7:30 versus drunk at 5:30 because he's been on the course, they're surprisingly similar with just slightly less pronounced consonants.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a little more slurred.
Yeah.
But he's willing to say with full sobriety what he's willing to say when he's a little goosed up.
I believe that.
I'm just telling you, that's John Granato.
Well, he's goosed up a lot. So.
Yeah. So when he says stuff on the air, he's totally sober when he's saying it. I know. It's hard to believe.
It is,
but it's true. And he killed off that segment.
Beautiful.
I'm trying to help you out here. You've got two. You're doing two shows today, right?
I am.
You didn't take the afternoon show off.
No, we're going to be out at Drift in the Heights. So
is that place where you can make your own cocktails? What is Drift?
It's a great sports bar out there. They've got a couple of giant screens.
All right, maybe that's where I saw, I think there was a video posted. I think I saw something on social media about them.
Someone making their own drink?
Nah, there's a place where it's like handheld. I think there's different cocktails that you can pour. I think it's here in Houston.
Okay.
But Drift, so that's a good spot then.
It is, yeah. So if we were doing the show here in studio, I would have considered taking the day off, but I like getting out amongst the people and paying my respects to everybody. So,
well, amongst the people. So one of the things that I want to do coming up next, we've got the all-star teams have been named, and surprisingly, no Rockets were on there. However, next segment, I do want to get into the all-star game because LeBron James has reached a number that is fairly significant, a number of all-star appearances that is fairly significant, and yet he's not first. So I want to get into that in just a second. And got some things to discuss about NBA trade deadline, because one guy that everyone thinks is getting traded, I don't think is getting traded. And I'm not even sure if the Rockets will consider it. It's 7:13 right here on the bench. If you guys want to jump in, it's Lance Zierlein, BK, Aaron is behind the glass, 713-780-3776.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's Lance and Brad Kellner, BK, and enough of the foolishness of the first segment. It's time to get into business here, and the business is the All-Star game. No Rockets, obviously, are going to be on the All-Star team. We know that going in. The starters were named, however. Here's your Western Conference starters. You've got Steph Curry, Ja Morant, the Joker, Andrew Wiggins, and LeBron James. In the East, it's Kevin Durant, who's hurt, so obviously he'll be replaced, but he was voted in 12-time All-Star. He's joined by DeMar DeRozan, who's having a great year in Chicago, Trae Young, Joel Embiid, who's got a shot at MVP this year, and Giannis. That is Durant's availability for the game is in question mark because he's recovering from a sprained knee and ligament. He won't play. Wiggins' selection as a starter is somewhat of a surprise, even though he's averaging 18.1. But that was a fan push. Selection of the starters was based on fan ballots for 50% and a media panel, and current players made up each 25%. And Wiggins edged out Draymond Green, so that's how you know Warriors fans are loading the ballot box.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's 18 straight for LeBron James, or 18 total, 18 straight for LeBron James, the All-Star game. Not a surprise. He's not number one. He's tied with number two with Kobe Bryant, who came into the league, obviously, as a very, very young player. So he's tied for second most All-Star appearances with Kobe Bryant at 18. Do you know who number one is?
Kareem.
19 for Kareem. And I was thinking about this. It's funny, whenever we have discussions, so my kids are really into, well, they've had their moments where they've been really into, like, historical basketball. They know basketball players from some 70s, a lot of 80s, 90s, and all the way moving forward. And so they've had arguments amongst themselves with their friends, stuff like that, about, you know, greatest players of all time, Jordan, like everyone, Jordan versus LeBron, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But they go a little deeper. They'll go a little further. And I was thinking, you know, it's so hard to make comparisons. Anytime we do anything hypothetical about what if the 96 Bulls played, you know, this team, well, which rules are we using? We're using hand check rules, and the games change so drastically that the three-point shot, you go through all that. But I was thinking, this is interesting because I do think you have three generations of basketball players there. LeBron, Kobe, and Kobe is most definitely a generation below LeBron, but now that I think about it, not that far below because he came into the league in, you know, what, 96, 97, I think 96, where LeBron came in 2001.
I think 03 for LeBron?
No, I'm sorry. It's the 03 draft. Yeah, one is when I saw him in the high school stuff. That's right. One was the Sports Illustrated cover. Mm-hmm. Three is when he came in with the great 03 draft. So it's still about 7 years, maybe not a full generation necessarily. But obviously Kareem was years and years ago. But I was thinking maybe one of the interesting indicators is all-star appearances from across generations, because that is one where you are truly in a platform of where you rank amongst your contemporaries.
Sure.
And so Kareem getting 19, and what made me think about this is everyone now will know how great Kobe was. They'll know how great LeBron James is and was. But Kareem is a guy who kind of gets slept on now because he's much older. And I when I watched basketball when I was a kid, I mean, it was an older version of Kareem, but he was still a factor. He was still making all-star games. But when you look at 19, man, that's longevity.
Yeah.
That's performance at a high level. So even though you can't really compare generations of basketball, things are different. The amount of time put into it now is going to be different. The strength training, you know, when you come into the league now versus when you did back then, it's a little different. But I do think that your spot amongst your contemporaries and Kareem 19 is a pretty good indicator of what a baller Kareem is, the fact that you can just, the record books are just chock full of Kareem.
He's incredible. And there was no fan vote back in the day, right? It's not right. Like people were ballot stuffing for Kareem because everybody liked him. Like, he was just an awesome player year in and year out. So, yeah, I feel like people sleep on Kareem a little bit too much when it comes to the greatest player of all time debate. He absolutely should be in that conversation. And, yeah, all three of these guys, right? Kareem, Kobe, and LeBron, there's no ballot stuffing there. This isn't fan vote. This is not an Andrew Wiggins thing. This is not a, oh, Yao Ming played 10 games, but because everybody loves him, he's an all-star starter kind of thing. All three of these guys, three of the best in their generations, and like you said, it's big accolades when other players and the media vote you in and year out, which has happened to all three of these dudes.
So Wiggins, there's some interesting information on Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins, son of former Rocket Mitchell Wiggins, Andrew Wiggins is the third first-time All-Star to be named starter in his eighth season or later. Bob Boozer, never heard of him in his eighth season. Kyle Lowry in his ninth season was a first-time All-Star. He's the 40th different number one overall pick in the modern era since 19, 66. That means there's been, what, 15, 16 who have not made an all-star team who were a top pick. But it's almost like, yeah, I don't really count it. Clearly, this is a fan stuff.
Right.
I mean, he's not a true all-star. But are you where does the all-star weekend rank for you right now? Has it always been the same for you? You care about it? Do you care or not care about it right now as much as always, or has it moved for you over time?
Yeah, I mean, I still care about it, but when I was a kid, I definitely cared about it more.
Yeah.
Like, I was more entranced by the All-Star game and really all of the All-Star festivities when I was growing up compared to what I am now, but I'll still watch it. Like, I don't completely clear my schedule and go out of my way to make sure I'm watching every single event.
I used to clear my 13-year-old schedule and lock in.
Man.
Like, well, whatever I was going to do as a 13-year-old, forget it.
Yeah, and it was always like Valentine's Day weekend, so it's like, sorry, ladies, All-Star weekend on.
Exactly.
So you guys also have cooties, too, so that's really the real reason why I'm not talking to you. But, growing up, I would always love it. And, you know, there used to be so many big names in the dunk contest, too. Now it just feels like they just find some random jabronis and throw them in there, so that has lost some luster, too. So
to the point now that you see such amazing dunks from non-NBA players, like they've got different dunk contests.
Yeah.
I'd almost rather see that.
Just scroll through Instagram and you're going to see
everything.
At least
bring them in and let them have a chance. Oh, thanks for the autoplay, ESPN. I appreciate that.
A little HEB action. What do you got over there?
I think some kind of – it's probably the Chronicle. Yeah, it's the Chronicle autoplaying an ad. I'd almost rather see – just give me the best dunkers you can find in the world.
Oh, man.
And let a couple of NBA guys compete as well. But my kids, they love All-Star Weekend. They want to see everything. But they don't care about the dunk contest as much as three-point shooting. And they care about skills contest. You know, like bounce passing and chest passing and dribbling around stuff.
Like the Taco Bell Skills Challenge
thing?
I feel like that's the worst event of the weekend.
Three-pointer is the one that they care about the most.
Okay.
They care about the three-point shootout the most. And probably because Rockets have been in it over the years. There's been some different Rockets in it. But there won't be this year. It'd be interesting to see Jalen Green in the three-point contest.
Boink! Oh, man.
I mean, just...
I was going to say Jalen Green in the dunk contest, but...
Jalen Green in the dunk... I would obviously that's something that I think would be interesting.
Yeah,
finding somebody like Jalen Green in the three just to say, okay, we're gonna put this guy in here, and if he beats you, we're shutting the dunk contest and we're shutting the 3-point shooting contest down.
We'd all feel pretty good about ourselves, I think, watching Jalen Green participate in the 3-point contest.
I could do that.
Yeah, I can.
What if Jalen went off? Hey, so I was digging around on this, and the trade deadline is February 10th, right, for the Rockets. And the two names that everyone has for the Rockets being traded are Christian Wood, potentially traded, are Eric Gordon and Christian Wood. It's become just an accepted fact that Eric Gordon would be dealt if somebody would ask, give up a first-rounder. I do not think that's going to be the case. I do not believe, talking to some NBA people, they don't believe that three first-round picks is something that anybody in the league wants. The Rockets had a bunch of draft picks last year, but their roster was completely depleted.
Right.
So they wanted to go get some guys. There were some guys they liked, and they wanted to. And I've heard Rafael Stone talk about the fact that he had hoped to move up, package, and move up and get Şengün. Şengün just happened to, get to him. But I don't think any NBA teams want three picks. So if you dealt Eric Gordon for a first-round pick, you've got you've got the Nets. You've got your own. I don't think the Rockets are going to be looking for a third first-round pick, because that's 3 years of guaranteed money you have to have. And if whoever you deal Eric Gordon to, it's going to be it's going to be a good team, more than likely.
Right.
So they're going to be picking in the 20s. You're already going to have the Nets pick. You know how hard it is? Teams try to get out of those draft picks because they don't want those guaranteed contracts. So I don't know that the Rockets, if they deal Eric Gordon, it will be for a player, I think.
Okay.
I don't think it will be for a first-round draft pick, maybe a future first-rounder. But I also think because he's a veteran and because they are a younger team, I'm not sure that Eric Gordon is the guy that's going to get moved. Christian Wood, I do think, when you look at all things considered, potentially getting Şengün more playing time, rolling him into a spot that he replicates some of what Christian Wood does. I do think that the Rockets will actively try to move him because he has way more value right now with the year and a half left as opposed to next year when he's got that final year.
Yeah, there was a report a couple of weeks ago, to your point, Lance, that said the Rockets were looking for a franchise-building piece, kind of like a cornerstone type of player, which I don't know if you could get that for just one of the assets this team has. Like, Eric Gordon's not going to net you a, a franchise-turning player, but maybe a package deal with Gordon, Wood, and a first. Maybe you could start to get that player that you're talking about to where, okay, instead of accumulating more and more picks, especially those late first-round picks that aren't valuable at all, you can package that with Wood and Gordon and maybe get one of those younger players who can actually help spearhead your rebuild a little
bit. I think the one tricky thing is, so Christian Wood is not a max dollar player, but he's going to want max dollars.
Yeah.
There might be a team not smart enough. I won't call him dumb. I'll just say not smart enough that might give him that, but that's not the kind of guy that you max out. So the Rockets aren't going to – I could see the Rockets re-signing Christian Wood, but the money would have to be reasonable, and I think he could get reasonable money elsewhere. But we've also read a lot of different things that Christian Wood apparently is not always the easiest guy to get along with in locker rooms. We know he's been suspended by the Rockets. I don't know. Like, it's going to be interesting to see what the going rate for Christian Wood is because he's too talented not to get – you got to get something more than just a first-round pick. You need to get – I mean, he's got talent, so you need to go get something that makes some sense for your team moving forward. And it can't just always be picks. Picks, picks, picks. Go get some dudes that make sense. I'm a big Jayshon Tate fan. I think he's a glue guy.
Yeah.
Type of guy that you really like. Kevin Porter Jr. has been much, much better, obviously. And Jalen Green is going to be the – Jalen Green and Şengün are going to be the two guys that you build around. So – I could see Christian Wood moving. I don't think that Eric Gordon moving is as big a lock as a lot of people think. Even if they get a first, I'm not sure that's going to be the case. So that's something to keep an eye on until by February 10th. I do think the Rockets will make a move, though. If I had to, if Vegas let me fire on it, I'd fire. Yes, they make a move.
I hope you're wrong on the Eric Gordon thing, not because I don't like Eric Gordon.
Right.
As a 33-year-old on a rebuilding team, I don't think he has value.
The only value he has is veteran presence, and then you ask yourself, well, what difference does that really make unless you think it's truly formative years for Jalen Green and you and I don't even know if he's tight with Jalen Green. Mm. Like, does Jalen Green listen to a 33-year-old Eric Gordon? I don't know. I mean, if he does, if he respects him, then that might have influence on him. If he doesn't, if it's too clicky, because remember that there's a 14-year difference between the two of them.
Yeah.
That's a substantial difference. He may not even want to listen to that quote-unquote old man.
That's his grandpa, man.
Yeah.
Probably
I'm not
buy
listening
him
to my grandpa. What was it like back in the days before internet, Eric? That's probably things Eric Gordon has to listen to in the locker room.
The three-point line?
Yeah.
What is this?
What was it like when y'all could only shoot twos before breakaway rims, Eric?
Yeah, I heard Jalen Green bought Eric Gordon a life alert for his last birthday.
Yeah, that's not right.
No, yeah. Don't
that's
need
not
that.
Right.
No.
But it is what it is. Mm. So we'll see if he actually gets dealt. I want to get the wording on this. Do you believe that the Texans organization had some horrible people in that organization?
Had or have? Yes.
However you want to say it.
I'm going to say yes.
One person believes that the Texans had horrible people in the organization, but he didn't make a comment about this organization. We'll tell you who thinks the terrible, and it's not just a random person on the street or just any sports talk host or any person on Twitter. This is about the older iteration of the Houston Texans having horrible people in that organization. We'll tell you about that when we come back. It's a former player who had money stolen out of what I think was a trash bag full of money in his front seat. At least that's how I envisioned it. We'll tell you about that guy and why he thinks that Texans had horrible people in the organization coming up next.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline. on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Thanks for nothing, Brad Kellner. Brad Kellner just cost me $15.96.
That's my payment for today.
I said it on the air, right? The targeted ads get me. Or maybe I said it off the air.
Off the air.
Yeah. So I bought more than a few t-shirts. Like, I like my Speed Racer t-shirt I just got. I got a shirt, Marauders. It's kind of shout out to Tribe Called Quest. So I got that. I like that one too. That one's a little more expensive. Recently got, it's got Billy Hoyle and I can't remember, and White Man Can't Jump. The two characters from Playground. It's a, what's his name? The Tax Evader.
The Tax Evader? Wesley Snipes?
Yeah, Snipes.
He's a tax evader?
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Did prison time.
Wow. They took all his money from, what was it, Blade? Like, they repoed, like, or they seized a whole bunch of the money he made from that.
Yo. He did some time.
I thought the only people who evaded taxes were, like, international soccer superstars.
Yeah.
Those guys are better at that than soccer.
They tend to get away with it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So you got, so Wesley Snipes, so that's one that I really like, because Wesley Snipes and I got Billy Hoyle and the two characters. It's like an old school Nintendo where they're power level, dunk level, 3-point shooting.
Oh, the NBA Jam style.
Yeah, it's an NBA Jam style layout. So I got that one. So, yeah, targeted ads tend to work on me. The algorithm's got me figured out. And I mentioned that to you, and then you told me about Fat Kid deals, which I think Raheel told me about first, but I never really looked into it. And in the time that you told me that during the break, it took me 90 seconds to buy a charger, a flat wireless charger for my wife's iPhone.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was a great deal. I couldn't not get it.
Sure.
But I kind of wish you hadn't told me about this place, because I do think this is going to be an issue, Fat Kid deals.
You're screwed.
But that's a really good
deal.
Explain
this to me, because I have no idea what this is.
It's a Twitter account called Fat Kid Deals. It's got hundreds of thousands of followers, and they just post
500,000 followers.
There you go. They just post discounted stuff from Amazon.
They tell you where the hookups are on Amazon. So, like, this Anker fast wireless charger, you know, you lay your phone flat on a charger instead of the plug-in. I mean, that's $13.99. I bought one of these before from AT&T. I've got one at my house, and it's way more expensive than that. So, I'm sorry. I had to get it.
You're in trouble.
So, now I want to close this out. I don't want to see this account anymore during the show.
You didn't follow it, did you?
I did.
You're in trouble.
I did.
Because they tweet nonstop.
They do?
Hundreds of times a day.
It got to be a way that they're making money off that.
There has to be. Yeah, I'm sure they have.
Because you got to go to the site, and then you say, click here to proceed to Amazon. So somehow it must be a third-party deal that they've got with Amazon that they get a kickback on.
I think that's it.
It's got to be. Mm-hmm. It's got to be. I'm trying to find a job like that. I don't want to be an influencer, because that's my time is come and gone for influencing. My influencing is through live commercials.
Yeah, you influence.
Right? I'm an influencer in that way. But it makes me sad for my kids to watch things and see people 23 years old making millions of dollars by playing Minecraft and commenting on themselves playing Minecraft or commenting on other videos of Minecraft. And I think, why couldn't I have done that for $1 million?
Would have been nice.
Yeah.
You know, that's the dream
job. To work with John.
I know. That sucks. I don't know how you do this every day.
Unboxing videos.
That's it.
You can make so much money doing any of this stuff.
You can just post nudes and be a billionaire.
See, I can't. But some people can. Some people can have their own channels.
Yeah.
And they quit their jobs or they continue trying to teach. And then people find their accounts. Or I saw somebody's uncle. I saw a story about a girl who her whole family didn't know she's been doing OnlyFans for a long time. And she got a message from her uncle. She posted a text and it said, "Hey, this is your uncle. And I think I just ran into a video of you."
What's he doing on there?
Exactly.
Come on, Unc.
Exactly. You know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Unc is a dude.
It's weird that he's looking at his niece, though.
Well, it is now. He made it weird by texting her. I keep it quiet, and I just delete, and I'm like, I shouldn't be on this app.
Yeah. You know, that's
delete.
The, That's the number one job. So when you were a kid, when everyone was a kid,
yeah.
they always asked you what you wanted to do.
Yeah, wanted to be an athlete.
Pro athlete, firefighter, police officer, like those forever have been the top responses from kids when asked what they want to do. Now the number one response to that question is influencer. It's the number one jobs kids want to have. They
That's,
want to be an influencer.
You're not lying, though.
No, I'm not. Like, there's this
That's
survey.
Not a joke. Like, yeah. why would you not? Okay, you know what? You want to be an athlete. You want to be famous. They make lots of money. They want to do this. Kids want to be rappers. They want to be this. Influencer gets free stuff, makes tons of money. You don't have to take, you know, you don't have anyone rolling downhill on you, hitting you at 100 miles an hour. You don't have to try to hit a fastball. You don't have to make shots from, you know, from 24 feet. You just have to post stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And you can, it can be the best life in the world, apparently. And I'm a hater. I don't want you to have it that easy. I want it to be harder for you. You need to grind. Stop making a million by the time you're 23 years old.
So if one of your kids is doing this, you're going to be
That's
like...
That's fine.
Okay.
If one of my kids will do it, I'm not going to... I'm telling you. Here's why I'm
really
mad.
Hey, work harder.
Here's
Stop making all that money.
Here's why I'm really mad.
Go change oil somewhere.
Other people are self-starters. I need my kids to come up and just come up with a channel where I say, okay, Snacks, you and Mason have your own basketball channel. Y'all can argue, but be yourself. Like, get into actual fights on video. Because mm-hmm. that's really what people want to see is when it turns into an actual grabbing and throwing people around. And then I just, in a perfect world, I would look like, oh my God, they have 64,000 subscribers now. And I go back in a month. You guys have 106, Nicole, they got 106,000 subscribers. And just in a perfect world, it would keep going up.
Yeah.
And then I would retire. And John would go, what are you doing? How are you retiring? I'm like, oh, my kids do basketball podcasts.
See, that could be your kids.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling
they don't try.
I have a feeling if your kids did try that, after a couple of days, you'd be yelling at them, go study more film on Ikem Ekwonu.
Yeah.
Go watch more tape.
Well, I mean, yeah, the Nigerian nightmare at left tackle for North Carolina State. Yeah, they should be watching. Sometimes when I'm watching stuff at home, I'll make them come in and I'll say, here's what I look for here. And they're like, yeah, whatever.
They could be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Ed Reed is, I was going to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
And Brandon's on hold, too. So we got to get him in. Look, there's going to be a lot of different things to get talked about today. Some of it will be sports. 713-780-3776. I've got deals to look for here during the break. Thanks to Brad. Fat Kid Deals on Twitter. If I've got to have that in my life, then you got to have it too. Thanks for nothing, Brad.
You're welcome.
713-780-3776. Brandon, we'll get you in on the other side, and you'll hear Ed Reed blast the Texans again when we come back.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
7:46 here on the bench. It's Lance and Brad Kellner from the Wheelhouse. He'll be out at Drift today. Want to plug that?
Drift today.
Where about?
Oh, in the Heights.
There you go.
The Killer Bees will be there as well. So the yeah. station will be there from 12 to 7. So play some hooky from work or after work. I'm have a beer. Actually, there are going to be beer bucket specials from 12 to 7. So a 7-hour happy hour on a Friday. Not easy to find in this town. Drift Bar in the Heights. Usually some very attractive women make their way to Drift Bar, but because Asmund's going to be there, Lance, I'm not sure that'll be the case today, so I don't want to promise that.
Yeah.
But it is a great sports bar, great place to hang out on a Friday. So 12 to 7, we'll all be out there.
Is your show a drinker's show? Like, does your show get a little liquored up?
I usually do.
Not like on the show, per se.
No, like, I do on the show.
Oh, okay.
In terms of off the show, yeah, I think all three of us are. We're not John level.
Yeah,
but
don't want to be.
We have a good time. Yeah, exactly. But we have a good time.
Before we get to Ed Reed, let's get Brandon in here. What's up, Brandon? How you doing, man?
Up in Houston, man. I just love you guys and listen every day. Like I said,
appreciate it, Brandon. Thanks, man.
Hey, just real quick, you know, kind of keep hearing some stuff on the lockout, you know, here and there with the status of the baseball season coming up. And just kind of curious if you guys have, you know, heard anything with the insiders and kind of the people you're connected to. just kind of, we already probably know it's going to be a late start to the season. I guess it's good they're having dialogue. And I guess, how does this affect, or does it affect the Astros and kind of what their next steps are going to be as they try to line up the rest of their offseason, whether it be, you know, Correa or Trevor Story or shortstop? And kind of want to get you guys insight on that and talk a little baseball with wish it was going to start on time, but looks like that right now it's not. No hanging for the list. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon. So Major League Baseball did come back with there has been some movement, some general movement. I think the players are giving up on their idea of early arbitration. The owner side is giving in a little bit. There's still some major stumbling blocks between the two sides. Mm-hmm. I do believe that spring training is going to be affected somewhat. That's my feeling, just because both sides, I think Major League Baseball, the owner side, will wait as long as possible so that they create more leverage from a time frame and getting paid standpoint for players. I don't look at this. I thought it was going to be cataclysmic, because what my expectations were the owners were going to try to get salary structures in line so that they did something to keep the 10-year, you know, the 10-year deals from happening. Something where they said, look, we've got to get our salary structures in line, and we're going to lock this thing out until you guys give in on something, we'll give on something. But Brad, when I look at the issues that both sides are talking about, I'm not sure that's enough to interrupt the season, because I don't think that's good for baseball. Baseball's already up against it anyway with younger people. I don't think it's smart for any player stoppage. Game stoppage. I really don't think that's a smart idea.
I don't either. And to your point about the owners being able to play hardball for a little longer than the players, you're dead on, right? Because the owners are richer than the players, and a lot of the owners are liquid too, right? They've got money invested in other things. They're still making money when baseball's not happening. The players aren't making money when baseball's not happening. So that's why the owners usually get a little bit more than the players in terms of what they want. I love that the sides are talking, and I love that they spoke on back-to-back days, right? Like the first time they met, in between the first time they met and the second time they met, like a month passed, and that's not good. But the fact that they spoke a couple of days in a row tells me they're trying. The first spring training games usually take place at the end of February. I doubt that's going to start on time.
No, I don't see it.
But the fact that they're talking in January tells me that they at least want to get things done. And like you said, Lance, it feels like they need to.
Here's some background. They met on Monday and Tuesday of this week. The players proposed raising the MLB minimum salary to $775,000 from $570,000. The league countered at $615,000. I don't see why that can't get – they're still pretty far apart, but we'll see if that gets knocked out. Both sides have proposed a bonus pool for players – under minimum salaries based on the wins above replacement statistics. So the WAR has a chance to increase that. MLB suggested $10 million fund while the players want it to be $105 million. That feels kind of far off.
Yeah.
10 versus – that's like Purdue Pharma number off. I just watched Dope Sick. 46% of players made under $500,000 in 2021. And Major League Baseball players also reduced its requested increase in revenue sharing funds from larger market – to smaller market teams to $30 million from $100 million. So that looks like it's going to get done. The bigger issues, two sides are still at a standoff on several issues. The players dropped the request that players be able to reach free agency earlier than after 6 years of service time.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball shed its proposal to restructure the arbitration system. So there are some give and some take going on right now. They are talking. It wouldn't shock me if they got something done in time to get a spring break. I don't think we're going to miss games.
Yeah. I would have said we were a couple of months ago.
I thought the issues were going to be more, we must fundamentally alter the way that we are structuring our long-term mm-hmm. payouts to superstars. That's what I thought it was going to be. That's not it.
No.
Owners don't seem to have as big an issue.
And it feels like all of these issues are resolvable, right? And
look,
the first meeting they had lasted 12 minutes before the players stormed out. The couple of meetings they had this week that you brought up, they were actually productive meetings, and mm-hmm. both sides were there for a long time. So it feels like we're trending in the right direction. In terms of the Astros thing, they obviously can't do anything until the lockout ends.
So Ed Reed hates the Texans. Ed Reed came to the Texans as a free agent during the 2013 season. The Texans, here's what happened, just to refresh your memory. Ed Reed was a free agent. He wanted to to come to the Texans because they had won. The Ravens were kind of done. The Ravens knew that Ed had really lost a step. And so they were willing to let, like a good organization, even though it's painful, you have to let someone go because you know they're not going to be worth their salary and you know they're at the back end of their career. Because he is a veteran, the Texans could only check for injuries that he previously had been released previously. They could check on those injuries. What they couldn't check on is injuries like a torn labrum in the hip, like Ed Reed had during the playoffs. They can't just do a full body scan. You can't do that. So Ed was not forthcoming with one of his injuries, and it ended up, beside the fact that he was just diminished as a player and diminishing rapidly, he also had an injury that he did not disclose that the Texans couldn't have found unless he disclosed it because he's a veteran. And it was a disaster. He wasn't good. Wade Phillips ended up taking over the team. Gary Kubiak fired during the season. Matt Schaub had a billion pick sixes. It was a total nightmare. They ended up cutting Ed Reed. It was just a horrific turn of events. Ed Reed recently spoke on it in Morten Andersen's podcast, The Great Dane. And here's Ed Reed talking about the Texans.
I thought we had a good squad in Houston, man. Like, I kind of mapped out different teams. Looking at everything on paper, you like, okay, we got a squad here. Like, they did decent the year before, just needed some pieces. But as much as I knew, and I asked these questions, there's certain stuff I didn't get before I signed with Houston. It's, you know, it's just like how you operate. Like, how do you truly operate? And I was asking those questions, and, you know, people who I had around me was like, man, I don't really think you need those things. Like, you don't need it. And I'm like, you need it. You need it. You know, my brother was there, Andre Johnson, you know, and I thought we would at least compete. Man, we were terrible. I mean, terrible. There were terrible people in that organization. I hate to say it, it's true. Because I wanted to win in Texas. I wanted to win, at least compete. We were horrible, man. They had some horrible people in that organization, man. Like, when you live like that, like, truly, that's why you get certain organizations don't win. Because they got some bad leadership. They truly got bad leadership. They leading that old mentality, man. Like, no, that is done. Like, that old mentality is over, dude. Yeah. Like, that's not how you lead people. You don't do that. You don't lead like that. That's why some of these organizations truly suck. You know? Because they got that old mentality, man.
If he thought that about the organization then, I'm glad Ed Reed didn't come now.
Oh, one man. Fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
What would he have to say about that guy?
Man, this guy, y'all got him playing, coming in here making football decisions. Coach Ed Reed is not going to have that.
It's something he might say. But if he didn't like the organization then, but here's what I don't know. What exactly, he kept saying old mentality. Like, he didn't give specifics of who the bad people were,
no,
what they were, why they were bad people. I heard he didn't get along with Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips is about as congenial a person as you'll find.
Yeah.
I think they probably just had run in as a guy who Ed was probably given a certain amount of leeway in Baltimore because he had been there forever. And Wade Phillips probably said, well, I need to run the defense the way I run it. And Ed, you're not the same player that you used to be.
Yeah. You got a lot of great.
So I know he wasn't down with Wade Phillips, but Wade Phillips is not a terrible person. That couldn't be further from the truth. I don't know who he's talking about there, number one. And number two, what does that mean, the old mentality? Like, I wish he would have defined it a little bit because I don't know what he means by that old school mentality. Was it you don't let the players do? Like, I don't know what it – do you have any idea what that meant?
No.
You have a guess?
I mean, he was talking about the way they treated players, and it kind of sounds like what you were hinting at a couple of seconds ago where he wanted more sway, he wanted more pull in the locker room, and – maybe it was the coaches just being in charge and not letting the players have an opinion.
They did make a coaching change in the middle of the season.
Yeah, so maybe it was that, right? Maybe in Baltimore, the players, it was more of a player-led culture, a player-led locker room, where if the players saw something, they could come out and voice their displeasure.
Ed Reed, and you just nailed it. That's what it is, because it was Ed Reed And it would have been Harbaugh, who's a player's coach. It would have been Reed, and it would have been Ray Lewis. And in Houston, it was Kubiak to start the year, buttoned up from the Shanahan school. Yep. So much more buttoned up. Ownership more buttoned up. When it was Bob McNair, Rick Smith more buttoned up. That's the only thing I could think of is it wasn't like it wasn't player forward. It was management forward, coaching, front office, ownership. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all I can think of.
Me too. And I'm with you. I wish you would have given some names, right?
Either names or what is your example? Like, right. What are you talking about?
Yeah. What is the mentality? What exactly went down in Houston that you hated so much? And was it coaches?
I didn't think there were terrible people in the organization at that point. From what I recall, people who I knew, I didn't think it was. That they were arrogant organization at the time. No. They were a very arrogant organization. The Texans have had a real comeuppance that they deserved, frankly. Their organization was extraordinarily arrogant at certain levels. Not at all levels, but at certain levels. Some of the things that I had told to me by people in the organization, I was like, wow, I don't think I would have said that out loud.
Mm.
But Bill O'Brien, did you ever hear the sound of Bill O'Brien when he was at a breakfast? And he said, and this is after the Astros. Do you have that, Aaron? Okay. We come back. I want you to hear something. This is Bill O'Brien. After the Astros won a World Series, I think it was before the 2018 season, he's at the Texans breakfast. The Astros have just won a World Series for the city of Houston.
Yeah.
The city of Houston is on fire for the Houston Astros. You want to hear Texans arrogance? I want to play you what Bill O'Brien said with a straight face, and then you can hear the people's response at this giant Texans brunch, kickoff breakfast or brunch that they had. John Granato was actually there in person because he was a season ticket holder at the time. I want you to hear when we come back what Bill O'Brien said and how the people in attendance responded when we come back. It's 8 o'clock. Lance Zierlein is BK. If you guys want to jump in on any of this, 713-780-3776. NFL playoffs. We get to that next hour as well.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.